Okay. Is the mic working? Yeah, okay. Yeah, because I got scotch tape on it. Something happened to it this morning. Okay, if everybody can kneel where they're at, please do so. We're going to pray. Dear Heavenly and Precious Father, we thank you so much for blessing us with this Sabbath day, another day of life. We pray for all those that are on our prayer list that are ailing either physically or spiritually. We pray for that young man that was in here earlier that had a rough go with the truth regarding your law. We pray that the scriptures that we share with him were planted, and we pray your Holy Spirit waters it. And then he comes to be a Christian, a true Christian. We pray, Father, that you bless us as we come together in worship and in study. I pray you bridle my tongue and any tongue that may speak so that only your words come forth and only you are glorified. Bless all those that are on our prayer list with answered prayers, especially the ones that are in need of salvation, our loved ones, and even enemies. We pray for them as well. And Father, all those that help the ministry, we pray that you bless them in the way that you promised in your word. We thank you for that. And we thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Okay, we're still in, well, we're going to be in this book for a while. Last Day Events, compilations of statements made by Ellen White over 100, sometimes 150 years ago. I don't know exactly how old some of these are. I'm looking at one now that's 1895. I imagine some of them are pretty old. It could be 100, 120 years old. If you do the F3, am I blue? Yeah, no, do the F3. You got to be in the room. And the book. Yeah, I think. Now, when you see that, no, wait, just scroll up. You see over it says on the top there, everybody, it says click here to jump to current and starting point. Just click that. Click it right now, and everybody will go there. You know, I programmed it so that it'll just jump there easier. That way you ain't got to scroll, because sometimes these chapters are really, really long, so I'm just going to make a little link on the top where you can jump right to it. We're in Manuscript 33, March 20th, right? Okay, I did update it. I always forget if I updated these or not. And if I miss one, no big deal. We'll click to the jump point there and then just scroll to the next one. So it's usually not going to be that long anyway. Okay. Let's see. Okay, Manuscript 33, March 20th, 1906. She says, I saw scenes that would soon take place in Chicago and other large cities as wickedness increased and protecting power of God was withdrawn. There were destructive winds and tempests. Buildings were destroyed by fire and shaken down by earthquakes. Sometime after this, I was shown that the vision of the buildings in Chicago and the draft upon the means of our people to erect them in their destruction was an object lesson for our people, warning them not to invest largely of their means in property in Chicago or any other city unless the providence of God should positively open the way and plainly point out duty to build or buy as necessary in giving the note of warning. A similar caution was given in regards to the building in Los Angeles. Repeatedly, I have been instructed that we must not invest means in the erection of expensive buildings and cities. The wickedness of Chicago is as the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah. Let me stop here for a minute. This was written in 1906. When was the Chicago fire? Before that, right? I would think this is around the time that we're rebuilding the city. Because you're going to get the Roaring Twenties soon. And the fire, the Chicago fire, was when everything was made out of wood, like in the old cowboy days and stuff like that. They had the wooden floors. I don't know the exact year of the Chicago fire. I can't remember. But the thing is, there is going to be a great earthquake in Chicago. And we know what's going on underneath the ground in this area where we live. There's a, it's called the Madrid Fault. It's supposed to be the worst fault on the planet. The problem is it's on smooth, the tectonic plates are smooth, I guess, as compared to the ones in California. The ones in California are kind of like rocky and bumpy in areas. And so when they make their movements, you know, it just... okay, Chicago Fire Fran just looked it up as 1871, so they were rebuilding at this time. And this is one of the reasons she says, you know, not to invest largely in there, because people were throwing their money in that direction, I would imagine. But the Madrid Fault is, from what science is saying, it's not just a, you know, a series of stairways, if you will, like in the San Andreas Fault or whatever, where you got, it goes down gradually in spots and it's got like stairways, and that's why when it falls down it causes earthquakes and stuff like that. Madrid Fault is just two shelves like overlapped, and when they separate, it's just going to drop, and who knows how far it's going to drop. There's no stairway. It's just a sheer drop-off, they're saying. So when that happens, it's not going to be an easy place to be in, is Chicago. And you got some, isn't the Sears Tower the second tallest building in the world ever since Austria put up that Twin Tower? The Sears Tower used to be the tallest in the world, but then Austria, I think it was, put up these two towers where there's a bridge between the two of them and around the 120th floor. I've seen it. Remember Nicholas showed us those pictures that he found? There's really, really tall towers, and they got the points in the, they have a bridge way up there that keeps, the bridge is connected to both buildings where you walk across the bridge that high up in the air. And it's encasing glass and stuff, of course, but. Yeah, it's twisting in the wind, yes. It does have a, like, because I was on top of the Sears Tower, and that building moves on a windy day about 4 feet in either direction. So it's designed to do that, of course. But if there's an earthquake, that building is not designed to handle an earthquake. None of the buildings in Chicago are, because it's not a place where earthquakes happen. And that's where the problem comes in. And we've had tremors out here. You remember the tremors that we've had here? It's just a soft, slow rumble. It doesn't knock anything off the shelves, but you know something's happening. Yeah. Yeah, there's always been tremors in this area. It's just they're very, very... Sometimes you can't catch it unless you're, like, sitting at a table and you got a glass of water and you see the ripples in the glass constantly forming. Because it's sometimes hard to feel it. Those of you in California know what I'm talking about, because I'm sure you've seen some of the smaller tremors where, you know, it's just rumbling. But anyway, continuing, he says, well, let me stop again. The point I was trying to make is some of our loved ones live in the Chicago area, and I'm sure some of loved ones online may have family members and loved ones, it's not just family members, in fact, that live in big cities or even in the Chicago area, where it's almost as if they're waiting for the earthquake before they'll start to believe in any of these signs. And this is you wait for that earthquake. It's just like with some people, they're waiting for that rapture of the church, you know, that false rapture that those Jesuits set up that says there's a 7-year trib period, where all of a sudden there's going to be a secret rapture. There are a lot of people that I've run into in my walk that honestly believe, and especially street people. Like when I used to do the street preaching, you run into the drunks and stuff like this. Oh, I'm not going to worry about it until I see millions of people missing. When I see that, then I'll know it's all true. I says, you don't seem to understand. There is no such thing as millions of people missing. There is no secret rapture. You've fallen for the oldest trick in the book. You're going to wait for something that's never going to arrive, and then before you know it, the world's going to end. You're going to be caught off guard. So, but this earthquake thing, if you wait until that happens, well, what if you're in the city when it happens? Or in the area where, you know, a lot of people are killed? Do we need to remember what happened in, where was it? Was it Los Angeles where they had that bad earthquake about 20 years ago? The earthquake when that expressway pancaked onto the other one? Where was that? Was that Los Angeles? It was California, yeah, I know, but I don't know, maybe Gary or somebody in there knows. Where was that? Oakland. Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, remember what Sister White said about San Francisco and Oakland? And that's another thing. Like, when I saw that, one of the things that convinced me in my mind that she's a prophet is how she said something over 100 years ago about San Francisco and Oakland being like Sodom and Gomorrah. And here, San Francisco is the homosexual capital of the world, literally. And 80% or more of the real estate in San Francisco is owned by the Vatican. So you put two and two together. That's what follows that church. Because Daniel 11:37 said so. Anyway, getting back. The Lord would have his people warned, for a great work will be done in a short time. I have heard the word of God proclaimed in many localities outside the city of Chicago. There were many voices proclaiming the truth with great power. That which they proclaimed was not fanciful theories, but the warning message. While the solid truth of the Bible came from the lips of men who had not fanciful theories or misleading science to present, there were others who labored with all their power to bring in false theories regarding God and Christ, and miracles were wrought to deceive, if possible, the very elect. I ran into someone that's, I guess, for lack of a better word, gently attacking this ministry, who proclaims Benny Hinn and a lot of these other strange faith healers to be authentic Christians. And their science doesn't even, you know, and some of the stuff with the, like the Pope himself in 1998 said evolution is scientifically sound. And now the Vatican is making, right now I just got, well actually yesterday I got an article from the Vatican that states they are pushing forward on beautifying John Paul II, making the man a saint. See, this is what this church has to offer. And any other church that embraces its teachings, and we know that's one of the reasons a lot of us have left the General Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church is because they are now doing exactly as Rome is teaching them to do. You know, and but this is the kind of saints Rome has to offer. John Paul II was not only a Nazi sympathizer, but his family, his parents were manufacturers. Their home business was manufacturing of cyanide. John Paul, Karol Wojtyła was a salesman of cyanide. And he was the one that was able to convince, I guess, Hitler to use cyanide as an inexpensive method of killing the Jews, or anybody else for that matter, because there were a lot of Christians that were killed too. It wasn't just Jews. You know, they always harp on the fact that it was the Jews only and the Jews only and all that, but it's not. There was a lot of Christians, a lot of Polish Christians too. Now let's go to the next one here. Manuscript 35, April 27, 1906. Give me my highlighter. Thanks. Men will continue to erect expensive buildings, costing millions of money. Special attention will be called to their architectural beauty and firmness and solidity with which they are constructed. But the Lord has instructed me that despite the unusual firmness and expensive display, these buildings will share the fate of the temple in Jerusalem. That magnificent structure fell. Angels of God were sent to do the work of destruction, so that one stone was not left one upon another that was not thrown down. I am bidden to declare. And by the way, have you ever investigated as to, like, for example, when Jesus says certain things, like in the last days, it speaks in Revelation 20 around verse 4 about the saints that were beheaded for the testimony. He doesn't have to say that they're going to, you know, buy a bunch of guillotines and get it all ready and use it as scare tactics or whatnot, or even that the Muslims are going to cut people's heads off with big knives. Jesus doesn't have to mention things like that. Or, for example, when he said in the last days you'll have famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places, are you aware that right now, I just got an article 2 days ago from, I can't remember, some scientific website where they're showing the North Pole is no longer the North Pole. It's out in the ocean. It's in the ocean just off of Canada's, way up there. I can't remember. It's the Antarctic Ocean or something. It's moved and it's heading towards Siberia. The North Pole is shifting. And this is something that happens in nature when it gets to the, you know, because of what happened in Noah's flood. When the firmament was removed, the regenerating powers of the planet's ability to keep its magnetic pole and its strength of magnetism at a certain rate, it went downhill from there. And, you know, that those videos from Dr. Karol Ball, that scientific videos where he shows that, and he can explain a lot better than I can. But the fact is, this is one of the reasons you have the earthquakes, because of the polarity shifting. This is the reasons you have the pestilences. Because strange diseases, we can't fight them off anymore. The mad cow disease is now showing up in deer, romping and frolicking in Illinois. Do you know that? The deer are getting it. They're calling it bovine virus and all that. They're giving it a different name, but... Yeah, the angels are letting go. And so, which allows the magnetic... like I'm saying, Jesus does not have to explain all these scientific things. This is what will happen. And for example, like when he said, not one stone will be left upon another. You know, one of the reasons that one stone was not left, besides the fact that the angels came and did what they did, but each soldier, his bounty for destroying that temple, from what I understand in my research, was they took that building apart brick by brick because the bricks were inlaid with gold. And they wanted to get at the gold that was on each brick, so they took each brick apart, took the gold off, and they went to the next brick. That's why one stone was not left upon another. And of course, all it needs is the angels directing these events to occur. Continuing. The Lord will have... What did I think? Okay, I am bidden to declare the message that cities full of transgression and sinful in the extreme will be destroyed by earthquakes, by fire, by flood. And an earthquake knocks a building down to the left, or knocks a building down to the right. You know, I've seen videos of that where there was an earthquake in this one city, and they show these videos, and the buildings are shaking, all of a sudden this big, and it was only like a 30 or 40 story building. It just fell over to the left and knocked a bunch of buildings down next to it, right? Like dominoes. They don't fall down like they did in the Twin Towers. I mean, that is just, this is what's called the dumbing down of America, for people to actually fall for this stuff, to actually think that those buildings fell down naturally like that, with the cattails explosions coming out as it's falling, you know, where people, you know, it's just too obvious. And so it's not, that's not how they're going to fall.
Can we all?
They're going to fall down all over the place.
They show on TV of building, of them taking buildings off purposely, you know, plan design like
yes.
America.
And then they show the building is coming down.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah, the dummy down. Yeah, because that's why I put that one animation, or it's an actual video, on my 911 page on the website. What I show is them a demolition crew destroying a building that was maybe 15 stories tall. It was like an apartment complex or something like that. And you see these explosions shooting out. They're called cattail explosions. It's an explosion that comes out in a long, pointy bunch of dust. It looks like a knife coming out of the building made out of smoke. And it just shoots out as the building's coming down. And then underneath that video, I have another video of the Twin Tower coming down where I zoomed in on these cattails explosions that were showing up just underneath the smoke. If you have the correct camera angle, you can see them. But the way they showed it on TV, they brought the camera up a little bit where you can't see the cattail explosions. And then I got that one video with the audio where the fireman was saying, as we're running to get out of the way, and these guys weren't using very nice language, but still, because they were scared, they were talking about what they saw and heard, and about how they saw the cattail explosions, and how they saw, and they heard it was going boom, boom, boom. They heard the explosions. So again, the buildings aren't going to fall down like that. We're not going to leave much of a mess. When the Lord is talking about earthquakes, and these buildings come falling down, it's going to be a mess. I mean, they're going to be falling left and right and right and left, and it's just, you know, you're not going to have any, there's not going to be any safety, any place in the city, unless you happen to be blessed, like the one man that supposedly rode the Twin Towers down and broke his leg. He rode it, he was somewhere up near the top, from what I understand, and he rode it down and broke a leg, and that was about it. He was on top of the pile when they found him. I can't imagine how difficult it would have been to breathe, though, with all that dust in the air. All right, getting back. All the world will be warned that there is a God who will display his authority as God. His unseen agencies will cause destruction, devastation, and death. And I'm not, you know, and I don't believe it's going to be like where they're going to have, you know, directing men to do it. We're talking, you know, the short time of trouble, of course, with the disasters that you see, they're going to increase, and of course, the plagues of Revelation. All the accumulated riches will be as nothingness, notwithstanding the scientific care with which men safeguard buildings from destruction. One touch of the great and mighty rightful ruler will bring to nothingness the idolatrous possessions that have been laid up in a sightly and magnificent display. Because think about it, some of these buildings that these men are building are to glorify themselves. That's what they do it for. They want their name on it, and they want to be the tallest building in the world. And, you know, I mean, the Sears Tower, it's because of Sears and Roebuck, you know, before they split up. But still, those guys... And the Trump Tower, I know. These guys put their name on these things. The devices of men will come to naught. Let me slide this book over a little bit. The injustice in our world, the masterly power man has taken onto himself, the oppressive man-made unions that bring confusion and violence and strife, and the manipulation of power to rule men and to acquire means through underhanded deception. These conditions God cannot pass by with silence. I mean, they're going to get their just desserts. Those who are under the influence and teaching of the great deceiver will find that although God has borne long with their deceptive acuteness, he has not been deceived, and he will reward every transgressor according to his works. I mean, in other words, these guys aren't getting away with anything, and that's what amazes me, how this is what grieves my heart, and I know it grieves the Holy Spirit when you think about it. Some of these leaders like Clinton or even the guy that's running the UN, I can't remember his name, or that guy from England that, what's his name? Tony Blair. These men, I don't know, either they think they're getting away with something, or it saddens my heart to think that, you know, you could gain heaven just like the rest of us. You know, and I tried to think the other day, what was going through Clinton's mind when he had that heart attack a couple of months ago? What was he thinking? I mean, does he worry about death? Does he think of his Creator? You know? Or does he say, hurry, men, get to work on my chest. Let it be that I will live longer. Yeah. I don't know, but it's just so sad to think that you'll see his face, possibly, I'm hoping this is not true, but we may see his face on the outside of the wall on that day that the Lord burns him up in Malachi chapter 4. And that's just so sad because they were so important and so, and even loved. Some of these men are loved for it. I mean, look at John Paul II. As wicked as he was loved. And yet, their end result is sealed sometimes with some of these men before they even die. They get to a reprobate mind. Continuing, she goes on to say that he keeps a strict account of every lie framed, and when he takes matters into his hands, he will deal in accordance with every man's secret and hidden devising. Bible history is to be repeated. Calamities will come, calamities most awful, most unexpected, and these destructions will follow one after another. Pleasure excursions will become fearful because of accidents. If there will be a heeding, of the warnings that God has given, and if churches will repent, returning to their allegiance, then other cities may be spared for a time. You know, until the absolute end comes, because it's got to go, you know, it's going to have to end anyway globally. But if men who have been deceived continue in the same way in which they have been walking, disregarding the law of God and presenting falsehoods before the people, God allows them to suffer calamities that their senses may be awakened. It's a hard lesson to learn, but sometimes that's the only way they're going to learn. I mean, look at what happened in the 40 years in the desert. The Lord will show before a world transgressing his holy law that he is God, and beside him there is none else. He has borne long with the deceptions of men claiming piety. While he had been provoked by their impieties, he has inflicted less punishment than they deserve. The Lord will not suddenly cast off all transgressors or destroy entire nations, but he will punish cities and places where men have given themselves up to the possession of satanic agencies. In other words, I would not want to be anywhere near San Francisco or Oakland or any of these other cities like Washington, D.C. or Vatican City. They're going to get what they deserve. The Lord has not forgotten any of this stuff. They may think he's forgotten because he's tarrying because he loves them enough to try to, you know, wait for the last minute to help them get to a realization. But they take advantage of his mercy and think it's weakness. You know, some people believe that weakness is our mercy is a show of weakness. And that's not the case. Continuing, strictly will the cities of the nations be dealt with, and yet they will not be visited. They will not be visited in the extreme of God's indignation, because some souls will yet break away from the delusions of the enemy and will repent and be converted, while the masses of the people will be treasuring up wrath against the day of wrath. So it's like Abraham asked of the three angels, who later were directed by the angel of the Lord, and only two angels walked into Sodom and Gomorrah. If there be 10 people, will you destroy the city? Remember, it went from 50 down to 10? And of course, they would spare the city if there were 10. But what did they find? A lot less than 10. And so instead of sparing the city for the small amount, they pull the children out. And the thing is, some of us have a tendency to drag our feet, like Lot and his family, and so the angels had to actually grab them by the hand and lead them out before they can do anything. Because the Lord will protect his own. But if you know the truth, and you understand it's time to get out of the city, the Lord's not going to pull every, you know, until the end of the world. He's only going to pull so long. He's going to try to get you out for so long. All right, finishing up, she goes on to say that those who are deceiving souls will find that it is a most serious matter to have worn out divine patience. God's wrath will fall upon them signally, unexpectedly, fiercely. And it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a wrathful God. But it's his mercy is as high as his justice. Continuing, though they may then humble themselves ever so much, there will be no further opportunity for repentance. They have persisted in leading souls to ruin. God's law has repeatedly been made void. The wrath of God's single displeasure is hanging over them, and they will not always be permitted to continue practicing their deceptive methods to draw souls into masked nets. Finally, the world will go forth that divine patience has been exhausted. The word will go forth that divine patience has been exhausted. I think I said world. But the word will go forth that the Lord, in other words, enough is enough. His patience is, it's over with. Because the Lord is long-suffering towards us. We understand it. That's what the scriptures say. But there's always an end to everything, you know. You can't keep on pushing it off. Okay, while we're taking a break... No. You think it's better that way to do the children's story? Oh, put it into the church service? Okay, that's a good idea. Okay. Then I'll take your suggestion. All right, so Mondo, wait a minute. After we're going to sing, and then after this singing, we'll stop, and then we'll relinquish the mic, and then we'll have a children's story. All right? We'll be back in a minute.